Right, so Donald Trump has managed to do what even seasoned warmongers usually avoid. He's walked himself straight into an array of legal messes. Not just through what he has done, but also by openly bragging about it. He didn't just authorise force, he narrated it. He didn't just claim control over another country, he announced it. He didn't just detain a foreign head of state, he posted a picture of it. In legal terms, it's self-harm on steroids. Trump has stacked admissions on top of jurisdiction, on top of precedent, and pinned his own name to every single layer of it, because he took it all upon himself. International law only struggles when powerful actors hide behind procedure. Trump didn't bother with that. He stepped out from behind it and waved. So from here on, every rule applied elsewhere snaps back towards him, because the same logic cannot suddenly stop working without the system admitting it only ever worked selectively. And the consequences, if he gets away with it, are disastrous. Right, so Donald Trump has said the United States used overwhelming military force against Venezuela, has described the operation as decisive and successful, has claimed that Washington will run the country during a transition, and has circulated an image identifying Nicolas Maduro in US custody aboard a US warship. Taken together, those statements have done something power normally goes to great lengths to avoid. They've turned a coercive act into an established record. And in doing so, they fixed responsibility in a way that can no longer be denied in any way, shape or form, can't be diluted across institutions, time or any sort of vague ambiguity going forwards. Donald Trump has always relied on the assumption that power protects itself, that he therefore must be untouchable as a result. It often does think in those ways, but only when it stays deniable and procedural or quietly distributed. What Trump has done instead, according to his own words, his own posts, is concentrate the action and the justification and all the proof into a single public performance. And that choice changes the conditions under which the system can pretend to be neutral. From the moment the act is declared, named and displayed, as Donald Trump has dutifully done, silence stops being restraint and starts being the official position. The Venezuelan government has responded as a functioning state. Delcy Rodriguez has spoken publicly as vice president, now acting president. She's chaired emergency meetings of the National Defense Council. She's insisted that Nicolas Maduro remains the legitimate president and described the reporting US action as an illegal kidnapping and military aggression. And many other leaders in many other countries are describing it in exactly the same terms, a kidnapping of another head of state. Those statements matter because they remove one of the oldest escape routes used to normalise force. There's no vacuum being filled here at all. A government is operating, issuing orders, and rejecting the act in the language of sovereignty and self-defence. So when that happens, the story cannot later be reframed as stabilisation or humanitarian necessity without contradicting its own record. Donald Trump, meanwhile, has of course only escalated his rhetoric. He's spoken of overwhelming power, of air, land and sea operations, of infrastructure disruption, of readiness for further waves if necessary, and of the need to prevent the wrong people from taking over Venezuela. That's declarative. More intent, isn't it? Courts usually infer intent from fragments in context. Here, intent's asserted. Trump is literally announcing it to the world. Whether that assertion is later walked back on is irrelevant to the fact it has been made, published and preserved already. The photograph identifying Maduro in custody matters because it converts allegation into custody. Trump posted it. He named Maduro in it. He specified the location, the warship he was on. That single act removes deniability and adds an additional layer of exposure. Publicly displaying a detainee is not neutral conduct. It goes to treatment and purpose. The significance is evidentiary. The detaining power authenticated its own act. Venezuela has reported that it has declared a state of emergency, activated defence plans, reserved the right to exercise self-defence under Article 51 of the UN Charter. Whether other states accept that characterisation is one thing. The existence of the claim isn't, though. Once a state formally frames an incident as an armed attack and invokes self-defence, the category of the act becomes fixed. It is no longer plausibly describable as law enforcement, therefore. It was an attack. Bombing a capital, seizing a head of state, kidnapping them, and then claiming administrative authority does not sit in a legal grey zone, funnily enough. So this is where Trump's position begins to narrow. The United States is not a party to the International Criminal Court. We know that, of course. That non-membership has long functioned as insulation, not because it removes law, but because it allows enforcement to be selective without saying so. That insulation weakened the moment territorial jurisdiction logic was accepted in cases involving non-member nationals acting on the territory of an ICC-recognised state. This is how Benjamin Netanyahu has an arrest warrant on his head, is it not? Palestine is an ICC member state, even though Israel isn't. Therefore, the same logic surely applies here too as well. Venezuela is a party to the Rome Statute, even if the US is not. Now, that fact does not produce an arrest. It doesn't produce an arrest warrant, even. It produces a contradiction, and it's certainly one I dare say the ICC will have to face before very much longer. But once territorial jurisdiction has been accepted as sufficient in one politically sensitive context, it can't be denied elsewhere without advertising politics as law. Trump has placed himself inside that logic here. By asserting that US forces operated on Venezuelan territory and by naming the outcome, he's activated the same jurisdictional frame the system has already relied on in the case of Benjamin Netanyahu and former Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant in order to issue those arrest warrants. So let's hope the ICC can see the consistency, though of course somebody does need to bring the case before them. But Trump appears to assume that the delay favours him. It often does when there's some ambiguity remaining about something. But here, delay just compounds the exposure. He's admitted to everything, hasn't he? Every day without institutional engagement, therefore, hardens this episode into a standing exception. Standing exceptions are not neutral. They teach us all something. They tell us other states what is permitted and under what conditions. They tell smaller states why compliance is optional when power is involved. They tell all of us who is actually above the law when it comes down to it, don't they? And this is why Trump's move has cornered him rather than the system, though. If institutions act, they confront a former US president inside a framework he's publicly acknowledged himself. If they don't, they confirm selective application. So either outcome attaches to Trump personally because he insisted on visibility by telling the world what he'd done. There's no diffusion here into agencies or time. The act has been narrated, displayed, and owned by the president himself. Members of the US Congress have described the reported actions illegal and unauthorized under domestic law. That matters too, because it guarantees consequence, or should, but because it fixes contestation too. Under the US constitutional system, large-scale military action requires congressional authorization, and Trump didn't get it. He didn't even inform Congress of his intentions, apparently. They'd be treasonous, is an allegation he's apparently made. Trump's own descriptions of scale undermine any claim to narrow executive discretion. And this is about record. A contested record doesn't just disappear. It's always there. So at this point, the usual defences begin to fail, don't they? There's no clean way out of this. A quiet settlement would need the Venezuelan government to play along. I don't see that happening, do you? Delay only works when things are unclear, and Trump made sure that they aren't. Walking it back would mean pretending he didn't say what he said or posted what he posted, and, well, that door's already shut to himself as well. Every escape route depends on uncertainty, and he burned that off himself because he can't shut his own mouth. So what that leaves is attachment. Trump hasn't left this hanging as an accusation. He's welded himself to it. Years from now, this won't be remembered as a claim or a dispute. It will be remembered as something he announced and displayed with pride. Power usually survives by letting time blur responsibility. Trump did the opposite. He stamped his own name and face onto the act and made it permanent. And this exposes how international law actually functions when it functions at all. It's not an automatic enforcement machine, though it should be, quite frankly. It's a credibility economy. Its currency is consistency, and Trump has forced a valuation moment there. The price might not be paid immediately, but it's very real. So from here on, every invocation of law elsewhere is going to be measured against this silence or engagement. And there's a temptation to retreat into cynicism here a little bit, to say this is how it has always been. Power breaks rules quietly. It does it all the time. So what? Yet what Trump has done is break them very, very loudly. He's removed all the fog that usually allows institutions to manage contradictions without admitting to them. And all because he cannot keep his mouth shut. Now, Trump's defenders may argue that nothing will happen. They may be very right in a narrow sense, but nothing here is not neutral. Nothing becomes something when it's compared and repeated and remembered against other examples. And this case will be remembered because Trump ensured it would be. The system has always lived with violations. What it can't live with is being shown up. And Trump didn't just cross a line. He pointed at it, named it, stamped his own name on it like he does with literally everything else. He didn't need leaks or denials or plausible distance. He did all the evidentiary work himself for whoever chooses to pick up the legal baton. That exposure doesn't drift. It stays attached. From here on, doing nothing isn't a neutral posture. It's an active decision that has to be carried every time the law is pointed at someone else. The moment the same rules are invoked elsewhere, this case tags along behind them, doesn't it? Because jurisdiction doesn't conveniently switch off without the whole thing starting to look staged. Trump has now forced institutions into a corner that usually escape by running the clock down, by spreading out the responsibility and letting memory do the work. None of that will help this time. The record is tight. The claims are all his. The images are already baked in. He's shared them. So this isn't something filed away and forgotten. It's material he chose to publish. And the system now has to live with and deal with. And that's where discretion turns into precedent. One exception can be explained away. A visible one that's left standing and is still being bragged about even cannot be. What makes this different isn't scale or shock. It's how clean it is. Trump removed the blur the system usually relies on to pretend every case is unique and this one has to be dealt with in and of itself, but on its own merits. Every future enforcement action will now inherit this case as background noise. This is always going to be in the static in the background. When the law is invoked against less protected actors, the question will not be whether the law applies there. It will be why it did not apply here. Trump has shown that a powerful actor can break the rules in full view and wait to see if anything happens. And actually, we're all wondering if anything will happen because we can't be certain of it. It's a lesson that doesn't need selling. Other states will read it straight off the page. Leave it unchallenged often enough and tolerance stops being ambiguity and starts being permission. So will any make a move? Well, there might be a bit of a get-together in Europe over this as it happens, but we'll have to see what happens there. This isn't just opponents taking notes either. Allies are watching the same thing. Smaller states that follow the rules because they assume they apply evenly can now see the terms clearly. Compliance isn't a baseline, it's a wager. So alongside the law sits reputation. And Trump's welded himself to this act personally. So when a figure is already associated with blowing past limits, later denials simply will not land. They won't wash. Every attempt to downplay this will be read against the record he created himself. Because he made sure there was one. So time will not dull the documentation. The statements and the images exist, largely because of him. They will be searchable and invoked whenever convenient. This does not mean Trump will be arrested or that a court will assert authority. We can never be certain of such things. More's the pity. But the change is not in enforcement, it's in justification. So from now on, when institutions choose not to engage with this case, they will have to explain why similar logic applies elsewhere. And when they can't, as they certainly will not be able to, their credibility will erode. And that becomes cumulative. It will continue to show up in reluctance to comply and in the dismissal of norms that once actually carried some weight. Trump's erased the gap power normally relies on between what it does and what it says. He didn't let others speak for him. He didn't wait for lawyers to tidy it up. He claimed the act himself. From a power perspective, that's a massive blunder. But he likes to posture as someone who spots hypocrisy a mile off. Yet here, he's dragged it into the open himself. And if the rules are real, they have to bite here. Because if they don't, then every speech about universality and international law elsewhere will sound very, very hollow. That sticks to him. When someone has already shown they don't care about limits, later claims of compliance don't carry any weight. Trump has stripped himself of the benefit of the doubt, and he's made his own legality a permanent question mark. If you zoom out from this, it's all part of a longer slide. The post-war order only worked because powerful states acted as though they were constrained even when they weren't. Trump has dropped the act. He has treated the law as something beneath notice, beneath him. That signals travels. Others will learn not to avoid the breach, but to hide it better, perhaps. The lesson isn't how to do this, it's how not to be seen doing it. Not to be so brazen about it as Trump has been, perhaps. Back home, it muddies the line between executive talk and executive action. When a president brags about unauthorized force and foreign control, future presidents will inherit a looser boundary and Congress inherits less leverage. Trump may believe supporters will see this as strength, some will. But strength that depends on exemption is fragile. It can't tolerate comparison, and that's what Trump has invited. Critics will invoke this case whenever Trump speaks about law or legitimacy. Allies will remember it when weighing assurances. Adversaries will cite it when justifying conduct. This is going to stick, though, because it's clean. The system can usually live with mess. It struggles with clarity. Trump supplied that all by himself. He's shut down the usual exits. There's no plausible denial left, no quiet deal to smooth it over, no procedural fog to hide it all in, no distance between the act and the person claiming it. What's left are only choices that expose preference. If institutions move, they admit reach. If they don't, they admit selectivity. Trying to half-step it just confirms incoherence. None of those options, however, will restore neutrality or anything resembling whatever's left of the notion of international law. And this doesn't rewind either. Even if Trump never holds office again, the record won't disappear. Even if the system acts elsewhere later, the comparison stays live. Trump has stripped away the space that let the law pretend the line was straight. The system can carry on, but with less authority and less leverage because it's been shown. That's the cost. That's the price we will all end up paying. Trump assumes power will just cover it because he's in power. Power often does, as long as it keeps his mouth shut. And he can never do that. He didn't do that. He narrated it. He branded it. And he's turned coercion into evidence. And in doing that, he forced the system to show what it really is. Now, of course, some legal figures might choose to look away and undermine themselves. One such person has done so already, so anyone considering it should look to Keir Starmer as an example of exactly what not to do, as you can find out all about here. Please do also hit like, share and subscribe if you haven't done so already, so as to ensure you don't miss out on all new daily content, as well as spreading the word and helping to support the channel at the same time, which is very much appreciated. Holding power to account for ordinary working class people, and I'll hopefully catch you on the next one. Cheers, folks.